Hello, everybody. Welcome to Seasoned with Salt, my second podcast. I want to thank you all for joining and supporting me. Hopefully, if you like what you hear, you share it with your friends. We have a lot to cover today. So before we get started, I just want to start with a word of prayer because that's how I roll. God, thank you for this opportunity to share with the people who will listen. Bless it, cause it to be edifying, but cause it to bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to begin this podcast with a question posed to me by a friend. She or he or she or whoever, because I don't want to incriminate anyone, asked me, how do you know when you are settling versus making a wise decision with regard to a relationship? And my assumption, and to make this easy, we're really talking about the inception of a relationship. So when it starts, like you're in the dating stage and you're considering like moving into another sort of stage of relationship with this person, whether it be marriage or whatever that means for you in your context. So three things that I think are always important to think about. And my friend asked me to ensure that in answering this question, I include my own perspective based on how I navigate difficult decisions. So I better hurry and admit that I do have a little bit of commitment anxiety. And so generally, like some people, like they meet you and you have 100 points. And as you develop a relationship, you know, maybe your points grow or they detract. I'm the type of person that you have 0 points, you need to earn the points as you go. So I think a part of that is the idea surrounding like protecting your heart and your mind and your assets and your time, and most certainly your money, because dating can be a little bit of a cash cow for a single guy. I'm not sure how to compare that to what perhaps a woman might spend in preparation for a date, but I just know how much it costs for a dude. Now, I think there are three things that I would consider, like when you're in the moment of trying to determine whether you're making a decision based on wisdom or whether you're settling. I think the first thing is like really having within your context, like what does God expect of me? Like what does he want me to be or do or say? Like, what are the bare minimum requirements? So I think it starts with ourselves. Like, we're encouraged to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy unto the Lord, right? And so holiness is sort of like the standard for which we understand our own body and our own decisions. And the idea of holiness is to live a life that reflects the image of Christ, right? And so I think that's the first thing. Like, it is the relationship that I'm going to be going into or considering moving forward in, does it conflict with my commitment to God? Now, if you're a person who is not necessarily a Christian, you're a person of principle, then I think you can ask this question of yourself in a variety of different ways. Like, if I have a standard, does this relationship get in the way of a standard? If I see my spirituality through the lens of a moral compass, like does this get in the way of my moral compass? Whatever that might be, does it get from me? As for me and my house, we're talking about God. So if I am, no matter how she looks, if she doesn't go to church, like that is already me determining that, or that's already me being in the position to determine whether I'm settling or not. Because if I'm going to date somebody that doesn't go to church, but I'm going to be at church all the time, there's going to be a number of conflicts. First, when are we going to spend time together if you don't go to church? And secondly, like, what if I'm growing in a different direction spiritually, and you can't keep up? Ultimately, you're going to get left in the back. So I think the first thing is to consider is God. The other thing, I think the second idea is a little bit more complex, but I think that like we always need to like, okay, so you're positioned to decide whether to move forward with somebody, and you have to decide like what makes you want to go to the next level. And I think that we always have to weigh like our past, our present, and our future. So is the decision that you are positioned to make about moving forward in a relationship based on the past? Like, are you just like dating somebody because you just got out of a relationship and the person has some other like values that perhaps your ex didn't have? Like, are you like, what part of the past makes it easy for you to be like, okay, I'm gonna jump into this? I think a lot of times people like are pretty much like juxtapositioning like past experiences with future experiences, and so like they're just either looking for the opposite or they're looking for the same thing. I think it's also extremely dangerous to be like, well, I broke up with John. I don't like John, but I like the image of John. Somebody that looks like John, acts like John, works where John works, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You're pretty much digging a hole for yourself, because if the person is just like John, then you need to be asking yourself, why did you break up with John? Right? And so, but I also think that sometimes our present context can lead us into making poor decisions about relationships. Like, I'm currently homeless, and the person that I'm dating has a nice apartment and has said, like, in an impassioned moment, move in with me. Or, you know, the person is just always readily available when you're emotionally distraught. So that's another thing, like what in your present context is making you like feel like, and then I think of course, like does the person's like current situation or your current or your, the future of this person and your future align? So if you know that you have an interest in like traveling the world and you're dealing with a homebody, like you're probably like gonna be in a position where you're like gonna be either in a relationship with somebody that's gonna cause you to change, you know, what your passion might be, or that person is going to challenge you to like find a medium. And you have to be okay with either one of those, because if you're a world traveler and a vagabond, then you're probably not gonna do well with a homebody. You know, and so I think that that's important. I think thirdly, like when you're in that position and you're trying to figure out whether you're making a good decision or whether it's a decision out of like just being in the moment, you really have to assess, like, okay, is this the way I really want to feel when I'm falling in love? Or is this the way I really want to feel when I'm going into a relationship? Like, is there anything that is a red flag to me that I'm trying to ignore because I just want to be in a relationship? And or is there anything that I'm creating as a red flag because I don't want to be in a relationship even though I like the person or I could like the person? So I think ultimately, like, the people have to, like, first of all, you have to be grounded in yourself. You have to know what you want. I think that if you're a person that doesn't really know what you want, like, you probably shouldn't be like on a dating app, because when you get on a dating app, like, the people on a dating app like know what they want. They're not like casually like floating in the air, like hoping that something happens organically. They are going to be meeting up with you like with the intent of trying to determine whether you are somebody that they want to be in a relationship with. If you're not ready, you just need to trust God, and like maybe you will be at Target and fall in love with the cashier. I don't know. But I think that it's really important to like take inventory of how you feel and what you like, how you want to feel in a situation. I think the bigger picture is that sometimes like we over contemplate and we over plan about what we want. And I think, unfortunately, maybe that's going to get me in trouble, but I think sometimes, like, it starts when we're really young, like, little girls, like, pushing strollers with babies and stuff like that, like, or boys, you know, playing with taco trunks and fixing things and learning how to, like, move and act in these very traditional, like, gender roles. And then once we get older, like, we're just, like, really indoctrinated with, like, this is how it's supposed to be. But I think also we have to remember that if we serve God, then He, we don't really know what His plans are for us. And so we have to be open to whatever He has in line for us. And we cannot, like, throw away a blessing because it doesn't fit, like, this sort of dream or this mold that we developed, you know, at a young age, or even in our 20s, or even in our 30s. So I think that overall, nobody is perfect. I think everybody is in a position where they have made some silly relationship mistakes. I think we have to forgive ourselves. I think we have to go into things open-minded. I think we have to decide like what areas like we are like confidently like not budging on, and then areas that are like really subjective that like can go either way, and then stuff that we prefer, but if it's not that, then oh well, whatever. Otherwise, we're always going to be in the position, if we don't know who we are, then we're always in a position where we are going to settle because we don't know what our standard is. And so in the absence of a standard, like, almost anybody can meet it, if you know what I'm saying. So that's how I feel. I'm curious to know how others feel. Nobody, and when I say nobody, can nurse an old iced coffee like my colleague. She will get an iced coffee at 8 in the morning. She will wrap it with a napkin and she will sip on it all day. And then she will be around 4:45, like, positioning it close to the door so that she can walk out with it. There has to be somebody else that's like her, like, unwilling to finish a drink, unwilling to find a new cup, unwilling to say, you know what, I just want to get a fresh cup of coffee. I'm going to leave this coffee that I got this morning behind me, and I'm going to move forward. You know what I'm saying? So today's Help Me Understand. Help me understand why all of a sudden the Kavanaugh hearing has like birthed this like coolness or appropriateness with white rage. Like, why are all these white guys mad? And like, why is it this space where like we can act like somebody with a credible case for sexual assault is somehow endangering the white man? I feel like that's kind of interesting, don't you? Like, I need to better understand why, like, it's funny because I was watching the Trump rally where, like, he was mocking the accuser of Judge Kavanaugh, like, she didn't remember anything, and that was, like, days after he, like, said that she was a credible witness or provided a credible report, which prompted me at the time, and I'm glad that I said this at the time, that, like, it doesn't matter what Donald Trump says about her credibility. Like, he doesn't validate her story by his, like, who is he to be the validator of somebody's experience when they're talking about sexual assault? So And I'm glad that I said that, and I'm glad that other people felt that way, because just days later, now all of a sudden, like, he's using his platform to be like, she's stupid and doesn't know what she's talking about and can't remember anything, which I think is kind of interesting. So I need to better understand, like, why it's cool for people to all of a sudden, like, just automatically assume that if somebody has a sexual assault accusation against somebody, that that's cause for, like, white men to be upset. I don't get that. Now, I know that people do not want for us to, like, make parallel between Judge Kavanaugh and Bill Cosby. And I know that, like, there's a thin line between rape apologists and not a rape apologist. I understand that. At the same time, though, I think that there is some opportunity for us to, like, look at the similarities and look at how, like, even not to go backwards, but, like, I don't know if you noticed how, like, credible the accuser gets to be, like, in contrast with the accuser in the Thomas case, Anita Hill, that's her name. So anyway, I still need to understand about this white male rage and about how, like, white men don't somehow get to own the fact that they have been responsible for, like, centuries and centuries of abuse and rape and molestation, whether it's of culture or of women's bodies or any of that. And now all of a sudden they're mad and, like, toting around that, like, somebody, like, saying that a woman who has an accusation deserves a fair chance is somehow ruining the life of some wealthy white man that will be wealthy and will continue to live his life no matter what goes on. Whereas you have somebody on the other hand who's like, look at what this sexual assault has caused, or look at what it has been resulted in my life. So I'm just real confused. Like I'm living in a state of confusion. So hopefully somebody can help me understand that. You know what I'm saying? So I was talking to one of my friends, and she was expressing to me that she felt like once you turn 30, that dudes are, like, pretty thirsty. And one of the examples that she offered was that she had been using a dating app and meeting guys, and, like, third or fourth or fifth date, it would be like this profession of love or this really aggressive, like, intention to be like, so what are the next steps? Which sometimes those come off as, like, really, like, female driven activities. And to her surprise, you know, a guy had kind of said, like, well, not really kind of, a guy told her on about their fourth date that he loved her. And when I say fourth date, I'm talking about, like, fourth casual experience. And so it, like, really rattled her. But I started thinking about it. I think the thing that I was thinking about the most is, like, is there a difference between being anxious and being thirsty? So in my head, being anxious is like, I'm 35, my friends are married, I'm not. If I find somebody that I think could really fit into that space, I'm not gonna waste time. And I'm like regularly and enthusiastically driven to find that one, and I'm not trying to waste time. And so I think that sometimes can lead to some anxiety. Like, okay, I need to ask the hard questions early, because if you can't answer the hard questions early, then that means I need to be putting my time and my interest and my investment in other women. My assumption is that there is that space that dudes have. Thirsty, on the other hand, is a little, now this is to me, but, you know, again, this is my podcast too. To me, I would define thirsty as, like, I have tunnel vision. I also don't think that thirst is associated with, like, love or marriage. In my mind, if a dude is thirsty, like, his objective is essentially to have sex. Like, he's not thinking, like, oh, I want to act thirsty so that I can convince you that I am somebody that you should marry. I don't think that that's what thirst is. I think perhaps that might be a part of the definition of thirst for women. But I don't know. You have to ask somebody that you know would answer that question in truthfulness. But so I think that there is a difference between just being anxious and being thirsty. And I also, you know, in talking to my coworker, like, I encouraged her to, like, consider, like, the way that we use words and the way that we might sometimes say words without, like, really adding any meaning to them. Maybe in our culture, in our context, we use words like love freely and we don't mean it. So I think we have to be careful with that too, because, like, when you don't know somebody and you're, like, dating them and the relationship is new, like, there is still a chance that there is not an overlap between the way you define a word and the way that that person defines a word. So things like, I think, like, if you are an anxious dude, like, and you are just like, I need to get to the next level, like, I don't have any time to waste, like, I think, like, you might need to, like, figure out a way to introduce difficult conversations, like, outside of the context of, like, the first date or, like, the second date or the third date or the fourth date or the fifth date. It's like, if you're going on a sixth date with somebody, that essentially means that they have some interest in viewing you from the long-term perspective. So there really isn't necessarily a need to be like, so if I propose you today, would you marry me? So I think you need to slow down if you're that guy and just, you know, just think about it. Like, is it really, do I want to run somebody away by appearing to be thirsty or by appearing to be anxious? Because an anxious person can make a non-anxious person very anxious. Like, anxiety in a person is dangerous. I mean, I'm just going to say that. So, anyway, y'all have to tell me what you think. I just think that we have to be careful not to categorize people in certain ways just because they have certain questions. I mean, also, I also think that, like, especially if you're dating in your 30s, like, there is a small number of people who have already been married, and who already know that there are certain qualities and personality types that they know they're not interested in. And so there is enough in your late 30s and definitely in your 40s and certainly in your 50s and most definitely in your 60s. You have enough life experience to kind of know, okay, I can spend 5 minutes with somebody and know if something's going to work or if it's not going to work. You know, so I don't need, like, a whole day or a year or a questionnaire. Like, I kind of know how this is going to shake out. When you are younger, like, you have less to go by. And so I think because you have less to go by, that requires a little bit more patience. So that's my perspective. I mean, I would, if I was dating a chick and she's like, oh yeah, sorry to use the term chick if that offends anybody. It's a term of endearment, I think. Okay, I won't use it anymore. If I was dating a woman and she, like, slipped and said the L word, like, I just would have a lot of questions, like, how do you define that word? Like, is it an emotional response that you're having? Is it, like, is this your head? Is this your heart? Like, who did you say that to last and why? Like, I would just have a lot of questions before I would, like, sort of jump to a space of judgment. But there would be some level of judgment, like, okay, this is odd, this is awkward. So I think, you know, If you ask a real friend, like get together with a group of your friends and be like, hey, like what qualifies as thirst? And then don't do that. All right, friends, that is all that I have for this episode, episode 2. I hope you enjoyed it. If you like it, please share with your friends and give me feedback. My prayer is that as I create these podcasts, they get better and have some other ideas. So thank you for your time. Please follow me on all social media, on Instagram. And I am one, O-N-E, the number 9, Beau, B-E-A-U, 6, so 19Beau6. And I'm on Facebook. You can follow my page, which is D.Beaumonte. So thanks, and we will chat with you soon when we record our next episode. God bless.